escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, back here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. Played in a golf scramble yesterday to benefit Crime Stoppers. Really fantastic event, fun event. Got off the course just as it was raining. Like, I mean, it's just started raining, and the N18, like, bam, right there, and it's crazy. So it was perfect timing. I got to tell you, I have a take about scrambles that I want to run by you, okay? You've played in scrambles, right, Josh? Here is my take about golf scrambles. I get it to raise money, no doubt. I understand why you do it. I do not like being able to buy mulligans at scrambles. You buy mulligans, people go in there, they buy like 20 of them, and the winning score is like 25 under, and it's stupid. And how many mulligans you got left? Oh, we got another one. No, just go give an additional 20 bucks if you want. No mulligans. Yesterday, the one I played in, no mulligans. Winning score was like 7 under. Tough course. It's great. You don't have mulligans. You can't take an extra shot. Everybody gets their 4 shots. That's it. They're 1 shot. That's it. I like it. So that's my take on scrambles. No more mulligans. I'm anti-mulligan on scrambles. I'm not anti-making more money at scrambles. That's great. Find another way. Just come in and go, you know what? Your whole group gets maybe an extra tee shot on one hole and pay 20 bucks. Whatever it is. Something like that. We can figure out a way to do it, right?
I think that's a good idea. Every scramble I played in, though, they haven't done where you can buy mulligans, which is kind of interesting. Like, you don't have anything at all, but still the scores somehow end up being like, you know, 15 under, and it's like, okay, I don't know.
I know.
I want to call some people out, but I don't want to be that guy, you know? worst part about those things.
Yes, that's my take on scrambles. In the meantime, today's a big day in the NHL, of course, and in the sports world because it is free agency day. Not a lot of great thoughts when it comes to free agency. You know, memories here in Buffalo, of course, 7-1-0-7. We know what happened that day, both Drury and Briere. left the Buffalo Sabres. There's been others in the past. The Sabres have signed some guys, no doubt. Taylor Hall comes to mind a few years ago. Very big surprise signing. Kyle Okposo, the year that Steven Stamkos was going to be the number one free agent, he re-signed. Okposo is on the market. He was considered the number two guy. The Sabres signed him. So they've had some signings over the years, but really over the last few years, it's more about who's out versus who's in. And the ones that are in, it's like, I don't know. What's happening here? What's going to happen today? We'll find out. We'll see. In the meantime, Sabres development camp is also going on down at Harbor Center. And our Paul Hamilton is there, and he's here as well on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Paul. What is happening down at Harbor Center today?
Kevin Adams is on the phone. He's been on the phone pretty much since he's walked in the building because he gets up and walks out of the box, and he goes over at the end over there where nobody is. So he's been on the phone pretty much the whole time that he's been sitting here, which is a little over an hour. They did start this a little late. From the 9 o'clock start. So you were talking about golf. I'm pretty much a solid 120 shooter when it comes to golf. It's really not my game. So my hockey team, college team, gets together every couple of years. And of course, they want to golf. And there's actually two guys on there who actually were on the Iowa State golf team also. So they're good. So I was so happy when I showed up one year with a broken finger. I couldn't golf. So they came up with this thing that I had to go around in the cart, and every guy on the team had to use me to putt once. So I'm going from green to green. They could choose whatever putt they wanted. It could be a 2-inch tap-in, but every guy on the team had to use me once to putt with a broken finger.
Hey, well, you know what? Hey, you gotta take all the shots that are available to you, and Paul Hamilton's the guy to do it. That's what matters. Paul, what is happening on the ice behind you? I love the sounds.
Yeah, yesterday was more with the new strength and conditioning coach, and they got put through their paces. This guy did not let up on them, and today is more, we saw like at one end, 3-on-3. Now we're looking at 4-on-3 breakouts. And as the coaching staff, this is run by the Amherst coaching staff. And as, Kevin Adams and, they meet with these players when they get here, and of course, Lindy Ruff and his staff. And they're told right away, you're not going to make or break your status as a Buffalo Sabre here this week. This is development camp. You're here to develop. You're here to learn. You're here to find out what the pro game is about. You're here to meet the prospects, other prospects that you're going to be growing up with as a Buffalo Sabre. So just go out and let it hang out. Show us what you have. Show us the skill you have. Show us this, that, and the other thing. Don't be worried about that what we see this week is going to make or break your time as a Buffalo Sabre. So, you would hope that maybe helps the guys relax a little bit as, we're watching, as I said, the 4-on-3s right now.
Yeah, and I say the same thing when it comes to rookie minicamp, right? The Bills have rookie minicamp, and it's a little different in football. We know that. Some of these guys are actually going to be on the team and contributing, but you can help yourself a lot. You're not going to really, unless something drastically goes wrong, really cost yourself chances when you're a draft pick or something like that. That comes later when everybody's there. And these guys also, very, very little chance any of these guys are actually playing in the NHL this year. That doesn't really happen out of from this group.
Yeah, a couple will play in the AHL. The goaltender, Scott Ratzlaff, probably will back up Levi in Rochester. They signed Tyler Coff out of Brown University, and he got 6 games in with the Amherst after he was done with his season at Brown last year. He's another big guy, 6'4 winger that, is a Rochester guy. But other than that, there's not really too many guys that we're talking. A lot of college guys who we don't see in training camp because class has started. And actually their training for the college season has started. So we don't get to see them in the prospects tournament or in training camp. This is really the only time we get to see the college guys, which I like. They have a couple of second round picks the last couple of years. Adam Kleber, a big right shooting defenseman. He also is 6'6", and goes 229. Sturbeck, too, who can't come because of personal reasons, plays at Michigan State, is also a right-handed shooting second-round pick. So we get to see a lot of those college guys that we aren't going to get to see in training camp.
Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. And, of course, Paul's appearances, as always, are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We are very aware that if Paul has to run because practice is over and he has to go do interviews, that's got to happen. So, Paul, just feel free if you have to at any time say, I got to step out and go. And we're very aware of that. Okay, so we have a report today that the Sabres will be signing possibly a new goaltender. What can you tell us about the report and the goaltender?
Yeah, and of all the guys, the free agents goaltending is really not, you know, great. Alex Lyon, and the first thing that hit me when I saw Alex Lyon, it took me back to 2023 where the Sabres missed the playoffs by 1 point and in the second last week of the season went to Sunrise to play the Florida Panthers, who beat them out by 1 point, and the Panthers won that game 2-1, and Alex Lyon absolutely stood on his head, as did Devon Levi, by the way. Devon Levi didn't take too much of a back seat. I think he might have faced 36 shots, if I remember. Lyon faced 40 and made 39 saves, and Florida won that game 2-1 and wound up in the Stanley Cup Finals that year. Had Buffalo won that game 2-1, then the Sabres would have been in the playoffs. We wouldn't have been talking about a drought, and the Florida Panthers would not be in the finals 3 years in a row because they would not have been in the playoffs that year. So that was the first thing that came to mind when I thought of Alex Lyon. This is a guy that really hasn't gotten an opportunity to play until the last 2 years where he signed with the Detroit Red Wings. The first year there, he played 44 games. He had a pretty good .904 save percentage. His career save percentage in 113 games is .902. So that didn't used to be a good save percentage, but these days, you know, it's okay. And last year, he backed up Cam Talbot and got 30 games. It was 14-9-1, and it was 8-9-6. So I think it's a good way to find out if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has rediscovered what he was not last year, but the year before. And if he hasn't, you got a guy you can put in net for a while. Reimer, I just don't think you could. You know, he was okay finishing the season last year, but if he doesn't retire, he would come back at 38 years old. And you just if it doesn't work out for Luukkonen, you can't wait. If Luukkonen doesn't have his stuff back in October, you can't wait. You can't let the season get away from you there. You've got to turn to Alex Lyon then or bring up Levi from Rochester or whatever it might be. But you can't sit around and wait for Luukkonen. Luukkonen has to have his you know, abilities right away. And I think Alex Lyon is a good add for the team. I was wondering if they would actually add a goaltender. I think this is the right thing to do. I don't know how thrilled Devon Levi will be being back in Rochester. But, hey, the Buffalo Sabres aren't in existence to make Devon Levi happy or be thrilled. I mean, they're doing what they feel is best for the franchise. And Devon Levi, and the last 2 years, or a year and a half, Devon Levi has been able to come to terms with it. I don't think he was delighted he went to Rochester, but he made the most of it. That I'm here. This is my team. He made the All-Star team this past year and, did very well in the first round of the playoffs, and his overall playoff record in the last 2 years is very good also. So he figures it out. I mean, he might not be happy just right, you know, once this signing takes place, but he gets over it and he figures out what is the best way for his growth and how can he take advantage of every situation.
Speaking of Devon Levi, the Sabres did submit their qualifying offer for him. They qualified him a restricted free agent. Several players they've qualified, but a couple they did not, Paul. Can you kind of run us through the philosophy on each of these guys and what they did?
Well, Bernard Docker still could maybe sign a contract today. Remember, Jost did that a couple of years ago where they didn't qualify him and then he signed a contract. And don't forget, too, I mean, people, there was quite a bit more hand-wringing than I think was needed yesterday about a guy who is your number 6, 7, or 8 defenseman. He was okay. He was fine. They're all up in arms about the second-round pick, and the second-round pick had nothing to do with Bernard Docker. They got him because Ottawa wanted Gilbert, so Buffalo needed another defenseman because Gilbert was being subtracted. It had zero to do with the second-round pick. The second-round pick was, in most circles, Norris is considered the better player. So, you know, Buffalo had to sweeten the deal more than Cousins. Norris and Cousins are not considered equals around the NHL. So that's what the second round pick was about. It had zero to do with Bernard Docker. All Bernard Docker was is because, well, they wanted Gilbert, so let's take a guy back. He was fine. I think he played well. I mean, he wasn't giving the puck away a lot or anything like that. If he was back, I'd be fine, but I just don't get at all. I mean, what it is is pretty much whatever Kevin Adams does, it's wrong, and he'll get jumped on, whether it's right or wrong. And I've always said it's not like everything he does is bad. There's a lot to talk about. If you want to get on Kevin Adams, there's quite a bit you can deal with. And this also could be Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff has a lot to say this year about roster construction. Lindy Ruff might rather have Johnson in that spot. Johnson, Leone was talking about him yesterday, his coach in Rochester, talking about he became, along with Jake Rathbone, a shutdown pair for them and did very, very well. And, you know, Lindy Ruff knows Ryan Johnson. He knows what he could get out of him. And he may be more inclined to want Ryan Johnson in that spot than Bernard Docker. So this might be a Lindy Ruff decision also, and what Lindy Ruff had to say about Bernard Docker. But again, I have nothing against him, and I think he did well. And I'm not going to worry about it if he's not here. But the thing about the second-round pick had zero to do with him. The second-round pick had nothing to do with him whatsoever.
All right, well, the Sabres also extended Tyson Kozak, Ryan McLeod, Bo Byram, Ryan Johnson, Connor Timmins, and, of course, we mentioned Devin Levi. Anything on the other guys? Seems like pretty standard procedure, but we also know that, you know, Bo Byram's in a situation where maybe, you know, you qualify him, obviously. Maybe he's not here much longer. Any movement there? Anything that you're hearing or what's going on with Bo Byram?
Well, the offers just haven't been what the Buffalo Sabres want, and listening to Kevin Adams on Saturday talk about, you know, Bo Byram would be fine. Adams said, first of all, he goes, I'm fine if it's 8-year deal, if it's a 1-year deal or 2-year deal. He said he would like to bring Bo Byram back. And, you know, if the trade isn't what you want, there's no point in making a trade that you're not really behind. You know, that doesn't – it's not like Bo Byram was like – is going to be bad for the locker room or anything like that. He's not. That's not Bo Byram. He's, as Adam said, and he's right, Bo Byram will give it his all. And if he signs a 1-year deal, that's fine. And who knows what a 1-year deal could turn into? You sign him for a 1-year deal. He plays with Dahlin. The only thing he's not going to get, unless there's an injury, is power play time, which I'm sure he would like. But it also gives him an opportunity to see if, all right, Kevin Adams has told us we're going to do this, 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 and this. And now what? You know, I can now, I'll be here for another year. And you can still, if he signs a 1 or 2 year deal, you can still trade him. It's not like you can't trade him just because you signed him. The other team now knows what they're going to have to pay him for 1 or 2 years. And so that's not a big deal either. That doesn't mean if you want to trade him that you would stop doing that. So, yeah, that's, I think that would be a good thing if they could get Bo Byram to sign, even if it's short term, because it would just give him an opportunity to see, okay, I heard the plan, and at the end of the year, if he's still around saying, hey, I don't think this is going anywhere, or say, yeah, I like what I see. I do see us moving forward, and maybe this is a place I would like, because he likes Buffalo, he likes his teammates. You know, that I know. And he doesn't sit around and pout or anything like that. You know, you come in, he's joking around with his teammates, unlike J.J. Paterka, who was basically at a frown on his face anytime you saw him. And, you know, so it could turn into something good if the Sabres do improve and do make, you know, a move here and do make the playoffs. If you've signed him for 1 year, then maybe after next year, maybe he's willing to sign the long-term deal. You never know. It could go so many different ways, but to me it would be stupid to make a trade that if you don't think it's a good trade, it'd be dumb. And Lindy Ruff, by the way, has joined the Kevin Adams conversation now.
Interesting.
Over that. Kevin's not on the phone anymore. Now he just answered a call. But and that should happen. if Kevin Adams is talking to an agent about a free agent, and if they're on the verge of coming to a deal, Lindy Ruff should be consulted and talked to. I mean, that's just good management. I mean, and I think it's good that Lindy Ruff is going to have a big say in the roster makeup this year. So, you know, the Bernard Docker thing, I guess, doesn't make fans happy. But again, I don't think they would do it if Lindy Ruff weren't on board, if it wasn't his idea. And Lindy Ruff may have other ideas how he'd like to fill that position.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, let's rewind a little bit. I haven't spoken to you since last week. The Sabres obviously had their first-round pick on Friday night, the rest of the draft on Saturday. What is your big takeaway from how their philosophy in the draft? Of course, it's not like football, as we always say. These aren't players playing right away. They're in the pipeline. But they have to have an overarching philosophy, I think, of what they want to add. What did you take away from what they did over the weekend?
Well, the thing is, these guys, don't forget, are only 18. They're going to probably be big. Tyler Myers grew after I had interviewed him when he was drafted, and he showed up at training camp. I go, are you bigger? He goes, yeah, I've grown an inch or two. I'm like, you're kidding. But that's the thing. They're going to get bigger. They're not at full size at 18. So they didn't have – I mean, you can say the Sabres have more size than they've had in a while. But as far as the prospect pool, you have the two Russian defensemen. Murray's not a prospect, you know, and Wahlberg down in Rochester. And, of course, you've now got the second-round pick from last year, the defenseman who is here, by the way, Kleber, Adam Kleber. He's 6'6". Sturbeck is a pretty big guy. You know, the second-round pick, a right-handed shooting defenseman the year before. But the Florida Panthers have shown us you need skill, but you need skill with some guys that have some size. You're just not going to win and get through the grind of a playoff when you have Team Munchkin. And, you know, that was one, I think, one of the things is Savoy. It's like, all right, you pick the two guys from the Winnipeg Ice that might have been their smallest guys in Benson and Savoy in consecutive first-round picks. And, you know, Benson has turned into a good player for them and I think can only get better as he played as an 18-year-old. And right now, I think McLeod, he had career years, goals, assists, and points, and that's something when they traded for him, they felt that he could be better offensively, and we saw that. So they're just too thin and small when it comes to that. So to make the pool of prospects a bigger bunch, I think was a good thing to do, knowing how the Florida Panthers were constructed.
All right, Paul. Well, we are about an hour and a half, just over that, from the start of NHL free agency. It feels like it's kind of just like a lot of years. We know this, and I understand. And I know your philosophy as well. You don't, you know, build a team necessarily through free agency. But, man, just feels like there's not much of an opportunity to grab really anybody because so many names have already re-signed with their own teams.
Well, this is a different situation. I mean, if Ehlers is available, overpay him.
Sure.
If he's willing to come here, I don't think he would be. But you never know. And you got to make the phone call and you got to ask. And if you're going to convince him to come here, you're absolutely going to have to overpay him. Mm-hmm. So, if you look at it that way, it changes a little bit. If you're just starting your rebuild, it's a ridiculous way to try to start your rebuild, you know, overpaying guys and contracts that you're going to regret. But right now, the Sabres are in a position where now is the time. And if you got to sign somebody up for one of those contracts that maybe you're going to regret after a bit, Ehlers is 29 years old. Tuck is going to be 30 years old by the time he signs his new contract. I think you're at a point now where you're going to have to do that, especially now that you have a salary cap that's going to be 95.5 and has gone up considerably. You could sign Byram and still be fine to sign a forward out of free agency. The Sabres will have plenty of cap room to do both if they so desire.
All right, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, what does the rest of the week hold down there?
Practice again tomorrow, and then it's the 3-on-3 tournament on Thursday, which is always fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys really get into it. They want to win, and there's a trophy that they have, and they take the Stanley Cup picture afterwards and have fun with it. But that also gives them a chance to show their skill a little bit in a 3-on-3 format where it's a round-robin tournament, and it gets – gives Lindy Ruff, this is his first chance to see these young kids, a chance to see what kind of skill they might have. So that's usually a pretty well-attended thing. And as I said, just a practice tomorrow, and then the three-on-three ends camp on Thursday.
All right, Paul, I am sure we're going to speak tomorrow. I'll let you go do your job today, figure out what's going on, find out. We'll have some news later today, I'm sure, on some front on the Buffalo Sabres, and we'll chat tomorrow. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. I love that sound. I always say it. When he comes on, I just love the sound of the hockey in the background, even more than football, I think. Like, and I'm on the field at training camp when I'm on with the guys filling in on the show in this time slot, and that's a really good sound. You have the whistle, but, man, the boards, the skating – it's great. I love it. And that's where Paul is right now. So today they practice. Tomorrow is practice as well. Starts at 9, it says, tomorrow. I have to make sure on this schedule. 10:30 Wednesday and then the scrimmage on Thursday. But we'll keep you updated on everything going on here on WGR. And, of course, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. Sal Marana for his weekly appearance. He wasn't on yesterday. I wasn't in yesterday, and you had Sabres, you know, draft recap yesterday. So we're going to do it today. We'll talk a little Jays and Yankees because they started their series last night. Some baseball talk. Might as well get that in today as we get an hour and a half before NHL free agency begins. And, of course, Sal covered Devon Levi down in Rochester and the Rochester Americans. So, you know, he's dialed in on what's going on down there. The Sabres rumored now to reported maybe bringing in Alex Lyon, a goaltender, free agent. And that would, I think, indicate that, you know, one more year for Devon Levi in Rochester. So we'll get Sal's thoughts on that, but baseball as well. Yankees, Blue Jays this week. At the top of the hour, my buddy Tim Benz is going to join me from Trib Live in Pittsburgh. Big trade in the NHL and the NFL yesterday with the Steelers and Dolphins. Big name trade, I guess. How much it make an impact for either team is, you know, up to you, I guess, or we'll find out from Tim. But also, Sabres acquired a couple of players from the Penguins over the weekend. So we'll get kind of the information on them. We'll do that all coming up next and the rest of the morning today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, well, it is NHL free agency day. I mean, kind of goes off without a whimper most years, especially here in Buffalo. Most of the guys are you're earmarking or signing with their, you know, former teams. Or in the case of like Mitch Marner, he's a sign and trade to Vegas, right? And plus you have a team in the Buffalo Sabres where it's just been so hard to get, you know, players to come here to play. And we've talked about that, you know, ad nauseum for a lot of different reasons over the years. It's usually about who's out, not who's in Buffalo. And if it is who's in, it's, you know, how much is he going to really help? But I do think they have a gaping hole right there in their top six after trading J.J. Paterka, like what they've done on the blue line. I really do. And we do have a report the Sabres are going to sign Alex Lyon, a goaltender, which does mean, as a veteran goalie, if he's going to be the backup to UPL, I would assume that would be kind of the case, that Devon Levi would get one more year in Rochester. I don't love that. I'm sure Devon Levi doesn't love that. But, you know, it's a guy I think that can be a good NHL goalie. But we'll see. It's kind of an interesting situation with him. Sal Marana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle joins me every week, usually on a Monday. Couldn't do it yesterday, so he's on today. We talk baseball, Yankees and Jays. We'll get to that in a little while. But Sal now on the Western Hotline. Sal, I want to start with Devon Levi here. They did qualify him over the weekend. It looks like maybe if the Sabres do make this move for Alex Lyon, maybe another year in Rochester for Devon Levi. How's that sit with you?
Yeah, look, I mean, he has been a very good goalie for the Amherst. And by the way, good morning, Sal. Sorry.
Good morning to you, too. Sorry, I got rambling there. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Me, too. Look, he's been a very good player in the AHL, but he has not established himself as a legitimate NHL goalie. We've seen that. They tried last year at the start of the season. He began the year in Buffalo, and he got some games and just didn't go well. They made that decision last year. They sent him to Rochester, and that was it. I don't think there was ever an intention of bringing him back up. They wanted him to develop a full season, get, you know, play every night in Rochester, and he did very well. He had a rough final series when they got eliminated, but he had played very good the series before against Syracuse. But look, I don't, you know, you guys, you've seen him enough. I don't think he's proven to be a legitimate guy that could back up UPL. I think they had to go the veteran route. You know, hopefully their two guys will stay healthy And I think one more year in Rochester for Levi is probably the right move. And then you've got to see what he is. I mean, you know, if he backs it up again this year and plays really well, then you give him a chance. But I just don't, I haven't seen it enough yet at the NHL level to give him that chance.
Sal Marana on the West Hur Hotline. Real quick, as long as we're on the Sabres here, you saw J.J. Paterka develop. You saw J.J. Paterka become a really nice player in the NHL. When you see that happen and then him get traded, you know, again, just your thoughts on him, his development, and then the entire situation with the organization where it feels like these guys develop, but they're not winning, so all of a sudden it becomes contentious and they wind up trading them.
Yeah, look, I mean, he made it pretty clear that he was not going to sign the offer, right? So they had to do something with him. And, you know, we'll see. These two guys that they got from Utah, I mean, I saw what they said last week when they did the Zoom call with the reporters. You know, when you trade for guys, there's always that initial, okay, this guy's going to help us. Look what he can do. But we've seen this a million times with the Sabres. They've acquired guys in the past who just haven't helped them at all. So hopefully these two guys can step in. You're trading a guy in Paterka who, you know, who certainly has 30-goal potential. And this team needs guys who can score goals, right? We've been arguing about this for a long time. They just do not have enough legitimate goal scorers on that team. So hopefully they find someone that can plug those plug the goals they lost with Paterka. And I'm hoping that this Kessel ring is finally Owen Power's partner, right? He needs a partner to help him in the back end for sure. His, you know, Owen Power's offense has started to get better, but he still, for a guy who's 6'6", Sal, he just does not play with the physicality. And Kesselring, I think, according to what we've read, he's the kind of guy that can come in and do that.
No, I don't disagree at all there. Sal Marana on the West Hur Hotline. You can subscribe to his free Yankees newsletter. It's called Pinstripe People. Check it out. It's right at the top of his Twitter page, Sal Marana on Twitter. I'm watching last night. I'm like, all right, here we go. 3-0 lead, cruising along, Rodon on the mound, and then bam, everything just kind of blows up on the Yankees. What went wrong last night, and what is it a bigger maybe picture of for this team?
Yeah, sixth inning from hell, right? Last night, they were up 3-1, and then, you know, Rodon gave up a leadoff double, and he comes out of the game, and I was like, you know, that's two starts in a row where he didn't even get to 100 pitches, which is that magical number, right? And I just thought, like, why are you taking him out now? I mean, in Cincinnati, the previous start, it was 88 pitches, but it was also 100 degrees out, so I understood that. Here, you're indoors in Toronto. I don't really know why they had to take him out. But anyways, as soon as he went out, then their bullpen goes to work, and their bullpen just has struggled. Mark Leiter wasn't good. Then Loazaga gave up the go-ahead, you know, two-run single to Guerrero. Volpe made two idiotic plays in the inning. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Volpe has really good range at shortstop. So he gets to balls that some guys wouldn't get to. Mm-hmm. But then you can't make the throws that he made. He gave the Blue Jays two free bases by trying to make plays that were impossible to make. So that contributed to the inning. There was a catcher's interference. There was a wild pitch in that. It was just a disaster. And they lose the opener to the Blue Jays. But it just continued a month of June that was not good for the Yankees, Sal. They played poorly pretty much the entire month. And they turned, you know, what was at one point a 7-game lead into, they're barely hanging on to first place right now.
And then, obviously, you have the Jays, you have the Rays, everybody in the AL East. We've talked about the AL East being a little bit down. Not anymore. As the Yankees are trending down, these teams are trending up, Sal.
Oh, absolutely. The Rays, who blew a game last night. The Yankees were lucky because the Rays blew a game to the A's last night. So they stayed up, you know, a game and a half out, and now the Blue Jays climbed within two. Both of those teams had really good Junes. I mean, I think the Jays have the best record in the majors in the month of June. So they're playing well. They're always a factor. If they weren't last year, but typically the Rays are always in it. They're so annoying. I can't stand that team, as you probably have read. Mm-hmm. And the Jays are kind of the same way. The Jays, I think, have played above what anyone expected this season. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, including me, thought that Boston was actually going to be the team that could dethrone the Yankees. And this is before, you know, the Devers trade and all that. And they just have underwhelmed all year. I don't think anyone thought the Jays or Rays were going to be the teams the Yankees would have to be fighting off right now. But that has proven to be the case. And I think it's going to be – you know, with all the other stuff that happened to the Yankees yesterday. They lose Grisham during the game. They lose Fernando Cruz, gone for probably 2 months now, a key reliever for them. Yesterday was a bad, bad day for the Yankees, and I think it's going to see – you're going to see this the rest of the year, Sal. They're going to struggle to hold on to first place and win that division.
And how do you explain the Mets? I mean, they not only go to Pittsburgh, a team that's obviously a poor Pittsburgh Pirates team, and lose three straight, but holy cow, they set records for how badly they lost in that series, and they are 3-13 in their last 16.
Yeah, I mean, we're complaining about the Yankees. You're right. The Mets have completely cratered this month or last month in June. That series in Pittsburgh, I think I read it was the worst run differential in franchise history for a three-game series.
Amazing.
The 1962 Mets were, before last year, the worst team in Major League history. They never had a weekend that bad. So I can't explain what has happened to the Mets, but they are now dealing with some big-time injuries, too. Griffin Canning just got hurt the other day, and he's out for the season. He's been pitching really well for them. Their pitching is in trouble. And it's funny that Soto has woken up now, and he has been terrific for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And it's weird that as he has risen, the Mets have gone in the tank because nobody else. I mean, Lindor is hitting terribly right now. Alonso has really cooled off. So, yeah, they're a team that has really gone in the other way. And this weekend they play the Yankees in the Subway Series. I mean, we'll see what happens the rest of this week here, but that could be a matchup of two teams that are really, really scuffling come this weekend.
Sal, you followed baseball a long time. I know you're a traditionalist in a lot of ways. I was at the Bisons game over the weekend, and, you know, in minor league baseball, you can tap your helmet and they review the pitch, right? And is it a strike? Is it a ball? They can't review plays like instant replay, though, outs and safe. In Major League Baseball, it's a little different. They can review out and save. They can't review balls and strikes. Where all this is right now, where do you stand on instant replay, balls and strikes, out and safe, all of that?
Yeah, I'm fine with instant replay the way it is right now in Major League Baseball. I mean, look, Sal, we've been watching baseball our whole lives. It's almost incalculable how many missed calls there probably were for us growing up, right? That could have been fixed by instant replay. So I'm perfectly fine with the challenge system. You get one. If you win, you keep it. That's good because it has fixed so many terrible errors and even some plays that were very close, you know, that, okay, you can go one way or the other. It fixes those. So that's perfect. In minor league baseball, the challenge system for the balls and strikes, outstanding. It's got to come to Major League Baseball. It just has to next year. I am not in favor at all of the robotic umpires for every pitch. I don't ever want to see that. I want to continue to have umpires calling balls and strikes, but the challenge system will fix, you know, a lot of the really egregious calls that some of these guys make. But for instance, last week when Chisholm ended up getting ejected because he couldn't get over the fact that the guy blew the ball three call, which was a bad call. But this is the type of thing where that would get fixed instantaneously. You know, you see it in Buffalo. I see it here in Rochester. When a guy taps his helmet or a catcher calls for a pitch review, that sucker is over in 10 seconds. Doesn't delay the game at all. It's instantaneous, and it fixes the really bad call. So I really hope that it happens for Major League Baseball next year.
Do you think – this is a little nostalgia for everybody out there. A lot of our listeners weren't even alive for this, but 1985, do you think if they have replay in 1985, the Cardinals beat the Royals in the World Series?
Oh, God, are you kidding me? I mean, yeah. That was one of the worst calls in history,
yeah,
that instant replay would have fixed. But and there's, like I said, there's almost innumerable plays,
yep,
throughout the years that would have been fixed by instant replay. So I'm perfectly good. I know some people hate replay. And what I hate is one of the consequences of replay, Sal, and it's the worst part of it, is when a guy slides into a base and the call is safe, and then he comes off the,
yeah,
bag for like a millisecond,
yep,
and then they review it and call him out. That's not the spirit of what instant replay,
that's,
should,
right,
instant replay should be, you know, turning over the obvious missed calls. I hate that it becomes that, because a lot of these teams, they will use that challenge,
yep,
on plays you know, on steals or advancing a base. And I don't like that aspect, but that's what you sign up for with instant replay. We see it in the NFL all the time, right? Mm-hmm. How things get changed because of replay that you're like, what are we doing here? What's a catch? What's not a catch? So that's one of the unfortunate things of it. But overall, I think replay is great in baseball, the way they use it.
Before I let you go, Sal, real quick, maybe a word on Dave Parker. He passed away over the weekend. Really great player, Hall of Fame player. And I don't know if people realize Dave Parker played a little bit for the Blue Jays at the very, very end of his career, actually. 13 games for the Toronto Blue Jays. But a great, great Pittsburgh Pirate and Cincinnati Red.
Yeah, he was a great player. I remember watching him, you know, when we were younger. We were teenagers when he was playing. And what an arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they always had that video. I forget who it was against. He just makes an unbelievable
right.
throw from right. I mean, you can't even imagine yeah. the ball being that well thrown. But he was a terrific player. It was unfortunate. His career was definitely scarred by the cocaine scandal that he was involved with at a time when that was a problem in baseball. But other than that, you take that out of the mix, he was a great all-around player, great hitter, great fielder, and, a great Pirate for sure.
All right, Sal, if you are able, I'd love to do this on Tuesday again next week. Another golf tournament on Monday. Monday's the golf tournament day for me, so I love
it
talking
is, yeah,
with you.
Charity, and,
yeah,
charity golf is on Mondays. You're right.
So if you have an opportunity, I'd like to do this again on Tuesday next week, and we can set that up. All right, buddy. Thanks
Tuesday
a lot.
Tuesday is fine.
You got it. Enjoy it. Hey, have a great 4th of July as well.
You too, bud. See you later.
All right, you too. That is Sal Majerana. Subscribe to his free, that's right, free, F-R-E-E, Yankees newsletter. He puts so much blood, sweat, and tears in it. I love it. It's great for everybody out there. If you're a Yankee fan or just a baseball fan, it's super good about everything baseball, but especially the Yankees if you're a Yankee fan. It's called Pinstripe People. It's absolutely free. I don't mind at all promoting it for Sal because he puts so much into it, and it's free. He's not making any money on it. He just wants you to have a really great experience reading about baseball. It's at his Twitter feed, at Sal Majerana. Make sure you go to Twitter. Take a look. And by the way, brand new headshot for Sal on his Twitter feed, I noticed as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're going to get ready to talk to Tim Benz. Speaking of great Pirates, Dave Parker, who passed away this week, Tim covers the Pirates. And they had a great weekend against the Mets. But he also covers, of course, the Steelers. They had a big trade with the Dolphins yesterday. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, who sent a couple of players to the Sabres. A lot to get to with Tim Benz at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A lot happened yesterday while I was golfing. So, in real time, here's what happened, Josh. Find out in the morning that Jalen Ramsey gets traded to the Steelers. I'm like, okay, like, you know, the Steelers are trying to take a swing here. I get it. Like, guys had some injury issues, but he did play 17 games last year. I do think there's a question about, you know, what he still has left. He's 30, turning 31. Had no idea until, like, hours later they gave up Minka Fitzpatrick. I'm like, whoa, what? I did not like the deal for the Steelers, initially. The more I looked at it, the more I liked it for the Steelers, and the more I didn't like it for the Dolphins, to be quite honest. So I actually think, here's why I landed on it. So it's Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith both going from Miami to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh sends back Minka Fitzpatrick and a late-round pick. Minka Fitzpatrick's 28, turning 29. Jalen Ramsey's 30, turning 31. Jonnu Smith going to reunite with Arthur Smith. I don't think this is one of those trades where you have to love it or hate it for either side. I understand why both teams did it, I guess. That's the biggest thing for me. For the Miami Dolphins, hey, I mean, I don't think they're going to be, you know, challenging the Bills for the division this year, but they knew Jalen Ramsey wouldn't play for them this year. They traded something and got something in return, a player that can help them in their secondary, and Minka Fitzpatrick, who has been there before, their own draft pick years ago. For the Steelers, they're taking a swing. They're betting on the upside of Jalen Ramsey being Jalen Ramsey and what he used to be. And I don't know if that's going to be true or right. My guess is, you know, there's still too much of a gap to go between them and the Ravens. But Jalen Ramsey, I think Darius Slay they signed, right? They traded for DK. They signed Aaron Rodgers. They're all in on 2025. And actually, I respect that. I don't know if it's going to work. I think there's a gap there. But they're all in on 2025. And I think I understand. It's TJ Watt getting older. And it's, you know, Cam Hayward getting older. Maybe his last year. So I understand why both teams made the deal. I don't think you have to love it or hate it for either team. I've kind of come around more on the Steelers side of it than I did initially, I'll say that. Tim Benz is going to join me next. Sabres picked up a couple players from the Penguins over the weekend in a trade for Connor Clifton And, of course, the big trade between the Steelers and the Dolphins went down. So we'll get with Tim Benz up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
A lot of us thought he was going to go with the Rams at some point. They were looking for a corner. He had been there. You heard Sean McVay said that was certainly a possibility. This is another sort of like interesting move by Pittsburgh. You know, they obviously acquired DK Metcalf, gave up second round pick, $30 million, 41-year-old quarterback. So this is an all-in move, very atypical of Pittsburgh, very intriguing. Look, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is still the third best current quarterback in the AFC North behind Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's a very interesting move by the Steelers. Maybe they could get a good year or two out of Jalen Ramsey, help to defend those great offenses.
That is Mike Tannenbaum on the Steelers-Dolphins trade that went down yesterday. As I was just saying a little while ago, first thing I heard was, boy, Steelers traded for Jalen Ramsey. Okay, totally get it. Then, hours later, find out, wait a minute, they gave back Micah Fitzpatrick? I didn't love that. But now that I think about it, I understand what the Steelers are doing. And I understand what the Dolphins are doing. I think it actually makes sense for both teams why they did this trade. But I figured I'd get my buddy Tim Benn's opinion on this and break it all down for us. Plus, the Sabres, of course, brought in a couple of players through a trade from the Pittsburgh Penguins. So Tim Benz joins me on the Wester Hotline right now. What's going on, buddy? Happy summer to you, I guess.
Good talking to you again, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. You've had an eventful summer, an eventful last few weeks, so it's good to talk to you.
Yep, back from Italy from the honeymoon and got married. So
love it.
Definitely been an eventful summer. Aaron Rodgers signed while I was in Florence. So, you know, I banged out a column and filed that on the plane over the Atlantic just to make sure I had something ready to go when that eventuality did occur, and it did. So get back to the hotel room, give it a once-over, make sure everything still holds, and I guess that's planning ahead. You got to do that in our business these days.
You got it. I'll be in Italy. We'll be in Italy a week from tomorrow for 10 days. And I want to make sure you're okay saying you got married. I want to congratulate you on the air. So awesome, man. Congratulations, you guys. That's super cool. How was Italy for you?
It was great. We did about 2 or 3 days in Rome, Florence, Venice, and eventually the Lake Como region. I got in there before Bezos' wedding took over the whole world. So, you know, in Venice. So that was good timing on our part, but it was great. I think if I were to go back again, maybe I'd go back in the other direction and head south instead of heading north just to see something different. But yeah, if you told me I could do those 12 days over again, I absolutely would. It was fantastic.
Tim Benz on the Wester Hotline. The Steelers and Dolphins make a big trade, and of course the Sabres make a trade with the Penguins. All right, what's been the response and the reaction? Because I think the initial thought was, okay, getting Jalen Ramsey, and then you're like, wait a minute, we give up Minkah Fitzpatrick? Now that the dust has settled, why did the Steelers do this, and what is how does it kind of hit for you in Pittsburgh and for fans over there?
Well, why they did it, I think, was they got themselves a guy who can help outside on the corner if Darius Slay or Joey Porter Jr. should go down. They got a guy who might be better than those two anyway. You know, this might be a situation where, depending on how camp goes and how Jalen Ramsey really works out, you know, we might see a situation where he's the starter on the outside, and then when they go to three corners, he goes inside or kind of takes over the Minkah Fitzpatrick deep middle role and sort of hybrids that job. That could happen. I think, you know, Minkah was here to make big plays. He made a ton of big plays when he first got here. The big plays evaporated. Now, to be fair, you know, Jalen Ramsey only had 2 interceptions himself last year. So, you know, it's sort of you swap out one guy for another guy who's in a similar situation, but corners are harder to find than safeties. And I think they're kind of tired of having a safety hammered in the back third of the defense all the time to take away the deep ball and play center field. And maybe they're experimenting now with the concept of, maybe we just cover better with our corners and let our safeties make plays. That's a novel concept. And I think that's where their head is right now.
It seems to me, Tim, that really this is all about going all in on 2025, right? I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers says right now it's going to be his last year. He alludes to that. We don't know. We'll see if that's the case. We know he's older anyway. You have T.J. Watt, who's getting a little bit older. He's got the contract situation. You have Cam Hayward, who may be playing his last season. You go out and get Jalen Ramsey, D.K. Metcalf. It feels to me, from the outside looking in, this is a we're going all in on 2025 swing, and let's see what happens after that for the Steelers.
I think that might be their mentality, but I don't necessarily know if this move says that, like, because they are subtracting a piece to get two pieces. Mm-hmm. If anything, you can extrapolate that the Jonnu Smith angle might be part of that because he's the quote unquote extra player in this deal. Like, yes, they are going out and getting Jalen Ramsey, but they're giving up Minkah to do it. So I understand why people are framing it that way. Is Jonnu Smith the kind of guy where you say, well, that's an all-in move? Not really to me, because that might just be their way to pacify people for a little while, saying, hey, you still don't have a second receiver because you haven't replaced Pickens. You know, I don't know how you can quantify the theory that it's an all-in move if Jonnu Smith is replacement for George Pickens. So I think it's a different view of how they want to play defense. And quite honestly, it might be their version of their best answer of how do they approach the passing game if they're not going to get a legit number two to complement DK Metcalf. And they learned their lesson last year that those guys are easier to talk about than they are to actually acquire. They did this dance all of last year when they're trying to replace Deontay Johnson and find a number two to Pickens. Now it's about replacing Pickens and finding a number two to DK.
Tim Benz on the Wester Hotline. Breakfast with Benz at Tribb Sports, Steelers pregame host, DVE Radio as well. All right, so the tight end position is very interesting now. Freiermuth's a good player. How does all this work with Arthur Smith's offense with both these guys? And by the way, I'm asking you not only from a real football perspective, but fantasy football perspective.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. I mean, obviously, Jonnu Smith is a favorite of Arthur Smith. This is the third time that he's had him. He has spoken positively of him in moments where just kind of tight end conversation has come up. We know what he thinks of him. From a fantasy perspective, it'll be interesting to see how often they try to throw the ball into the end zone to any one of their three big targets now. Or, you know, when they get into the red zone, what about Caleb Johnson? He's a little bit of a wild card as well because we don't know what he's going to bring as far as a running back in goal line situations. You know, the hope is that he works out better than Najee Harris. The hope is they get to the red zone more often than they did last year. I would think that you would have Aaron Rodgers is more inclined to throw to guys. He's never been a huge tight end target guy from a fantasy perspective. If you have Rodgers as your QB, he's had good, not great tight ends a lot of times in his career. So I really don't know. Freiermuth is a good pass catcher. I thought he had kind of a rough end, a rougher than normal end to his 2024. But I think most of the targets are still going to be pumped to DK, and then we'll see if they try to make another addition. Maybe you can tell me what you think Gabe Davis still has left, because that's the one name we keep hearing over and over again as a potential wide receiver add. But even if they do add him, is he anything better than the third or fourth target in that offense anyway?
You know, I've always thought Gabe Davis would be kind of a perfect fit for a Mike Tomlin type of team. He's a guy that you don't want to take off the field because he blocks very well. So he's going to be involved in the run game and the pass game. He hardly left the field in Buffalo. He was always their number one guy when it came to snap count and percentages. However, he did fail his physical in Jacksonville. That's part of the reason why he was released. And that's why I think, Tim, he hasn't signed anywhere yet, because maybe he just can't get completely healthy. And the way he plays with his style, I just wonder what that's done to his body at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Jonnu Smith may not be the greatest blocker in the world, but, you know, he's going to be better at it than Calvin Austin if they're going to, two tight ends and 13 personnel a bunch. I think they led the league in that last year when the other tight end was Mykole Pruitt. And obviously, Jonnu Smith is more of a threat. Boy, he did.
Oh, I think we lost you there, Tim. I'm going to try and reconnect with you real quick. And while we do that, actually, we'll reset with Tim here. Tim Benz on the Wester Hotline. We're going to try and reconnect with Tim real quick. Lost him for a brief moment there. I know he said that he was going through some tunnels maybe today, so that could be a reason why. But as we do that, I will also revisit the Sabres traded for a player from the Pittsburgh Penguins, Connor Timmins. This is a player who has been in the league for the NHL for six seasons. He's played for the Colorado Avalanche, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And now he comes over to Buffalo in a trade for Connor Clifton. Lost you for a moment there, but good time to transition, Tim. Let's talk about the players, the Sabres brought in, Connor Timmins. Tell us a little bit about what the Sabres are getting in this defenseman.
Yeah, he's a guy who, when they acquired him, I don't think anybody thought much at all of the pickup. There's also Connor Dewar who came along at that same time with the Penguins, and it was a lost season, and I think that the Pens and their fans were just sort of viewing whoever's going to mop up the minutes will do so as the season dragged along. We all knew where Kyle Dubas was going. He was going to pick up future assets, draft picks, to get more draft picks. They actually wound up with 13 picks in the draft. They picked up two additional guys after they had 11 going in. So everything was about the future. But when Timmins got here, he was actually better than advertised, in my opinion. He scored a couple goals that I don't think they anticipated. He was better in front of the net than they anticipated. There is a theory here that, you know, Mike Sullivan liked him a great deal and liked him more, perhaps, than Jack St. Ivany, who's a guy who flashed towards the end of the previous season. And that's why they leveraged him more during his time after the acquisition instead of having St. Ivany up, and this could clear the way for him as well as Clifton coming here. So, although Dubas did speak highly of Clifton, but the short answer is he was better and a little bit more of a bright spot than I think people anticipated, to be just a guy to close out the season here in Pittsburgh. And when we saw him move, I went, huh, that's kind of interesting, because they did get a little bit more bang for their buck in the limited time that they had him a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Clifton, you're getting a guy who's smaller. You know, he can handle the puck. The Sabres wanted to get bigger. They wanted to be a little harder to play against. And I think from Lindy Ruff's perspective, Clifton just is a guy that turns over the puck a little bit too much. You know, he's a little bit too loosey-goosey, I think, with the puck. But he can also add a little bit, help out. That is going to be some tremendous, you know, he's not Paul Coffey back there on the blue line, right? But he's a guy that can help you out a little bit and do some things. And you know, he does play pretty big for his size, 5'11", 195. You get a guy back here in Timmins, 6'3", 213. So obviously, you know, a big size difference there. What does the outlook look like for the Penguins, a team that really what we've kind of heard from last trade deadline till now is maybe one of the only teams in the NHL that kind of knows that they're not going to be trying to improve a lot going into next year. And as you said, maybe it's more of a reset year.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few of those lately. I'll say one additional thing to your point about the turnovers from Clifton. Regardless of how much he turns it over, he's never going to turn it over as much as Carlson and Letang. So he's always going to be,
I love it.
He's going to be no worse than third in that category. Trust me, it'll be hidden by what those guys do, because they tend to do it in much more crucial situations and much more blow up fashion. But anyway, back to your point about like what the outlook for the Penguins is, you know, there were some, myself included, who thought that they might try to thread the needle between complete rebuild and rebuilding on the fly while Sid is still here with all the picks that they acquired starting this season at the trade deadline this past year and going into this draft. But like I said, not only did they go in with 11, they walked away with 13. I can't believe they drafted 13 guys. You know, so they are definitely building for the future and the distant future at that. So, you know, we might see something different today. I guess the prospect exists that they could take their draft choices that they have next year. They got 3 second rounders. I don't think they'll take themselves out of the McKenna sweepstakes, obviously. They'll keep their first. And maybe they parlay some of those picks that they have over the next 2 years to get an offer sheet guy, to get a good prospect that they think is a better fit that perhaps a trading team has soured on, but they'll take a second round pick for him. Something along those lines. Those are the moves that I would expect over the course of the next week as we get into free agency. I don't think they're going to get multi-year guys, even if they have the cap space. I just think that they're trying to get the pipeline denser with talent coming in from the draft and through the minor leagues, so that when Sid eventually does walk away as the last of the big three to retire, the team has a fighting chance to be competitive. And hey, if some of these guys are young and they mature quickly and they happen to be on the same team with a late Crosby, because, you know, he probably still has one more contract after this one he just extended with the way he's playing, maybe there's a torch passing of sorts somewhere along the way as well.
So this just coming over on the heels of the Steelers-Dolphins trade, it's the Dolphins. How about this? I'm going to read this to you. I don't know if you saw it yet. The Dolphins are finalizing a trade with the Giants for Darren Waller, who will come out of retirement, Tim, to go play for Miami.
Huh. So he's the Jonnu Smith replacement,
yes.
I guess. Then.
Yes, right. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah, I know they've got a lot of reconstructing to do themselves in the secondary and, you know, some of the pieces that they've lost, but now, I was not as high on the Dolphins last year as a lot of other people were. I'm not surprised to have seen that season go the way that it did. You know, again, going back to the Jonnu Smith thing, one thing that I've pointed out here in Pittsburgh, I think that his stats were elevated by the way that offense had to go with Tua's situation, health, and so forth. So, you know, I think that they're getting a good tight end, not a great one. Coming out of retirement for Waller is a head scratcher, but whatever. Good luck to them. I still think that the Buffalo Bills are in very good shape in the AFC East.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We don't talk a lot of baseball, you and I, because you cover a team that, quite frankly, hasn't been very good. But, man, what has gotten into your Pirates? I got to mention, because the Mets, they just crushed the Mets last weekend.
Did you see the New York Post headline?
Oh, dead meat? Was it called dead meat?
Yeah, dead meat, M-E-E-T, because they had a team meeting after losing to the Pirates.
Yes.
18-3 over the course. Now, I understand that. Hey, completely understood. If I'm playing for the Mets, I think it's time for a team meeting after I lose 18-3 to the Pirates over the course of 2 days as well. Just don't go out there and then lose 12-1 the next day.
That's
which
right.
Is exactly what they did. So, yeah, the New York Post played that perfectly, I thought. And then they ended up blanking the Cardinals again last night.
All right.
7-0, and Andrew Heaney, he's been struggling lately, and even he had a good outing and got a no-hitter going into the sixth. Hey, a blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally, and they're in that mode right now where you'll see this a couple times during the summer. Like when I was in Italy, when I was on my honeymoon, I saw they won 6 of 8 and then crash back down to reality. They'll win 4 in a row here, then drop 5 of 7. This is just who they are. But Skeens pitches tonight, weather permitting, which might have been part of the issue why we're having difficulty with the line. I was trying to avoid the tunnel, which was backed up all the way to off the parkway because there was flooding. So,
wow.
You know, we'll see if Skeens could get out there and pitch tonight. But, yeah, he's the only draw on a regular basis, along with fireworks nights at PNC Park.
Well, I got to tell you, as you know, a year ago I got to see Skeens pitch. We were in Pittsburgh for that, for the Bills and Steelers.
That's right. You came in for the preseason game, and he was on the mound. That's right.
Yeah, and we went to the game. And I have to tell, by the way, a little PSA here for everybody out there. That weekend, I went to the Roberto Clemente Museum. I actually met somebody who helped run it, and he said, "Yeah, I'll give you a tour." And I went there. Holy cow! It is actually, Tim, it is one of the best museums I've ever been to. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a good, easy visit. You're not going to have to kill a whole day there,
right.
But you can kill a lot of time. They've got the wine there, too. You know what comes through there all the time whenever they play here is Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder's
really?
Like a big fan and backer of that place. Yeah, I don't think he visited this year when they came through for 2 days to wrap up the tour because he went to Sean Casey's Miracle League on the off day in between. Yeah. But whenever Pearl Jam's in town, he goes there because he's a big baseball fan. And It's in a good part of town. You can head up to Lawrenceville or down to the Strip District from there quite easily. So, yeah, if you're making a trip through and you're doing the ball, if you're a big enough fan to come to a Pirate game just because you want to see PNC Park, then you're probably a big enough fan that you could get something out of the Roberto Clemente Museum as well.
Well, part of the reason I bring it up is the Bills are they're having a joint practice against the Bears this year, and that weekend, guess who's it at Wrigley Field? The Pirates. So, looking to go to Wrigley Field and go see the Pirates again. How about that?
Yeah, you know, if you see Skeens, you know, one thing that people talking about with him is, you know, maybe just rear back and throw your heat a little bit more. Like he's turning himself into the man of 1,000 pitches from time to time a little bit too much, it feels like. And he's trying to diversify his arsenal. So he just got done with a real, real extended hot streak. He had been really good his last 6 outings and got those numbers down into the ones again with his ERA and had a rough one last time out. So we'll see what he does against the Cardinals, who he's pitched well against at times, but then at other times have had his number there. I think he's faced them more than anybody else already so far this in his career, and that makes sense being the division rival and all. But he always seems to pitch against the Cardinals when the calendar rolls around for them to come up again.
Hey, last thing for you. Dave Parker, obviously, tragically passed away. He passed away at age of 74 a few days ago. Great Pirate, though, right? I mean, right around us, like I remember Dave Parker when I was growing up, but not quite to the level of maybe someone who's a little bit older than us. You and I, we're the same age. But, man, that big loss for Pittsburgh, a really great Pirate.
Yeah, you know, like Parker to me was my introduction to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my earliest memories as a kid, you know, 5, 6 years old, the Super Bowl 14 team and the team that won the 1979 World Series. So, like, you know, the two guys that were on my wall were Bradshaw and Parker.
Yeah.
And everything with him was larger than life. And, you know, it's kind of like at 6'5", 230, he just cut the image of a badass. And that's exactly what he was. You know, the throws seemed faster. The hits seemed harder. The home runs got out of the park faster. Everything about him was, there's a mythical quality to it. You know, they wore those gold uniforms, and it was almost like you've never seen that much yellow in your life than when Dave Parker got in the batter's box. He was exactly the embodiment of that team. Like, he was the intimidation factor, and Stargell by that stage of his career was sort of the fun factor of we are a family. And it's not surprising that when folks who are a little bit younger that didn't live through that era talk about that era. Those are the two names they come up with, not just because of who they were statistically and how good they were, but they were the embodiment and the representation of that team. And that was a gut punch. You're like, you know, he was my baseball idol as a kid. And, you know, then when we were in college and the Pirates were really good, then in the 90s, it was the Bonilla, Van Slyke, Bonds teams. But I always think you need a good team and a great player to idolize when you're really formative and just a kid and picking up a glove for the first time. And then you need a team and a player that's really good when you understand the game and you start to see what the players are doing when you're a teenager. And I was pretty lucky in that regard because I had the Parker Stargell kid teams when I was a kid. And then when I was, you know, 17, 18, high school or going into college, I had those great teams in the 90s to watch too. And after that, it's been garbage. But, hey, what are you going to do?
I love it. Hey, man, congratulations to you one more time. And I'm glad you enjoyed Italy. Glad you're back now in time for training camp to kick off. And it's right around the corner. And I'm sure we're going to be talking down the road. I appreciate your time today, buddy.
You got it, man. Good to catch up with you again. And let's talk soon.
You got it. Tim Benz right there. Really good guy. And covering all things Pittsburgh. That was interesting. We got the news of the another Dolphins trade while we were just on the air. And it's Darren Waller. That's right. The former Pro Bowl tight end of the Raiders, Darren Waller, who went to the Giants and then retired, is coming out of retirement. A trade. The Dolphins are apparently sending a conditional sixth round pick, is the way it looks, to the Giants for a 2027 seventh round pick and Darren Waller. He will then sign a deal worth up to $5 million with the Dolphins. Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. If anything else is on your mind, feel free to call 803-0550. Hey, we're a half hour from NHL free agency. I guess we should turn a page to that a little bit here. But we don't really have anything on the Sabres other than maybe Alex Lyon, reportedly the Sabres being in the mix to sign him and will sign him. So we'll get to that. And really, really big NBA news that just came down a little while ago that I'll get to. And Derek Kramer has his arm in a sling. I had no idea. I got to find out what's going on here. I got maybe Derek can join me here in studio and can tell me what's happening. It had to be 11-day power play related. I'm just going to guess. It had to be 11-day power play related. Anyway, a lot going on here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here from our Just Call Jed studios at our Amherst studios in Buffalo and Amherst. All right. Derek Kramer joining me in studio right now. I notice he has his arm in a sling. It had to be an 11-day power play issue, right?
It was absolutely 11 days.
What happened?
Yes. So remember how on Friday you had spoken to me and Zach, and I had mentioned the highs of it, of, you know, three goals, everything like that. The following night, I was also back on the ice.
Yeah.
And no, this is the lows of hockey. Josh was there. He was... He saw the hit pretty cleanly, actually. He was on the ice. I was going to be shooting against him because he was in net. And I run into somebody. And Josh, do you mind explaining it the way that you did yesterday?
You were there?
Yeah. So Derek was standing at the blue line, kind of went like this from a standing up position to this, how you lay down on the ground in about a second and a half, and also spun while he was doing it.
Stick went flying and everything.
It was, yeah, you it spun. Was, so you did like the John Elway helicopter turn.
Yes.
But on the ice.
Twice that night, actually.
Yeah.
The second one's what did me in.
I get this feeling. I don't know. I didn't watch you play. Sorry I couldn't be there. Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I get this feeling. When you go hard, right? Is he the guy? Is that right?
I'm reckless.
I mean, listen, growing up, there were names for guys that, like, in gym class just went as hard as they could. And that's okay.
Yeah, gym class heroes.
Right? Gym class heroes, right? Gym jocks, whatever. And I'm not making fun of you. This is awesome. And what you're doing is for a great cause.
Yep.
But you seem to be that guy in this situation. You're like, I don't care. Hey, that's me in flag football now, right? I go out there, I play flag football in 52. I'm like, I got to keep up with the young guys. I got to go as hard as I can.
Sal, there's always an extra little bit of motivation for this other skate that we do. And Josh has been a part of it a couple of years, but it's a lot of people that I'm friends with. Tell me you don't go harder against your friends than anyone else when it comes to competing.
Of course, right.
It's exactly what this is. So I'm far more reckless of a skater in that skate than I am in the GR skate. That is the I'm your goal scorer.
Reckless. I like that. Yes. He's reckless.
Defense is an option for Derek.
Yeah, regardless the GR skate defense is.
Are you the JJ Paterka of the?
No,
of
I'm
the
Jeff
team?
Skinner.
Are you the JJ? Okay, even
it's
more
even,
so.
The metrics even are worse. So. The metrics are worse defensively for the GR skate. But in that third hour, because I still played through it, I couldn't grab the stick with my left hand, so I did something that I would never dare do in the GR skate, which was literally for the third hour I just played positional defensive hockey. Because I couldn't shoot.
Nothing wrong with that.
I couldn't shoot. I couldn't grab
There's
my
nothing
stick.
Wrong. The Sabres could use you, actually, right now. That's their philosophy. They need positional defensive hockey players right now, guys yep. who can do that. Derek Kramer's in studio. I just teased this. I'm going to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the big NBA news just came over about 10 minutes ago? From, I always say his name. Is it Shams? It's not Shams. It's Shams, right? Shams Charania.
Yep.
Okay. The Milwaukee Bucks are waiving Damian Lillard and stretching the remaining $113 million of his contract in order to acquire Miles Turner, sources tell ESPN.
Oof.
Lillard's two seasons in Milwaukee come to an end as he rehabilitates a torn Achilles tendon. It is unfortunately the year of the torn Achilles. But man, the reaction to people are like, holy cow, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it seems very cruel in a sense of, hey, thanks for tearing your Achilles for us, you're out.
Yeah.
It also might point to, I don't know if Damian Lillard plays basketball again.
No, I guess that's right.
Yeah. Like, Lillard was always one of those fan favorite types up in Portland and then getting traded to Milwaukee to try to chase a ring. And this is just another unfortunate outcome in his career that has already had plenty of those. But to waive a guy after he ruptures his Achilles for you, like trying to play for you and trying to win a championship.
It's a tough business, and these things, you know, it's funny.
But he still does get his money in the end of it. Like you said, it's being spread out.
And what I'll say this, though, is this reminds me of, like, this debate recently I was thinking about. I don't hate when Kevin Adams says, I want guys that want to be here. There's no mm-hmm. doubt. Like, you want players who are invested in your organization and what you're trying to do. And that's great. And I think that's what happens. I think kind of that's what the Bills have, right? They have a mm-hmm. bunch of guys that, look, I want to be here because they win, and they have Josh Allen. There is the other side of it where you have a team like an organization like Vegas, which is ruthless. They don't care.
Oh,
like, you're a number to them. But guess what? They win because they're just acquiring as much talent as possible. There's no one right way to do it, right? I mean, everybody's got their own way to do it. You'd love to have your cake and eat it too, where everybody loves being here and we win all the time. Woohoo! Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Right? That's who they are. Vegas. Ruthless. They've known, hey, doesn't matter. They'll move on from you. They bring guys in. Kind of doesn't matter. They went through that thing with Robin Leonard a few years ago, right?
And then Marc-Andre Fleury the infamous DeBoer picture from agent Alan Walsh.
Right. So
there's a lot.
And by the way, you saw what they did, right? They trade for Mitch Marner.
Yep.
What'd you think about that?
I hate it. I hate it mostly.
You hate it for what reason? I don't.
I
kind of love it that Mitch Marner's no longer in Toronto, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, no. Mitch Marner as a Toronto Maple Leaf was not my biggest problem. Mitch Marner, the potential Buffalo Bill, because I am
Buffalo
a
Sabre.
Fool and a pipe dream
Buffalo Sabre, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
The idea was, Brian Colziel and I talked about it during locker cleanout. This is how far back it went. Shove Josh Allen on a plane, get him to talk to Mitch Marner. Like, that's the simple strategy that we should be employing here. And then Vegas goes ahead and says, no, we want to secure him before anyone else even has a chance to talk to him. Right idea. I love it for the Vegas Golden Knights, but because I liken the Vegas Golden Knights to one of the villains of hockey, I hate it.
There's another trade.
So because I hate it, that means it's a good move.
There's another trade coming in. Victor Arvidsson is going to be traded to the Bruins from the Oilers.
What is Don Sweeney doing?
I don't know. I think they're kind of caught between, like, what they want to be.
Yeah, they sell off Marchand, but before the season even began, they give Swayman the big contract.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get rid of Ullmark. I don't know what, like, it seems like they're kind of, like, aimless and without an identity. Because you have Pastrnak still, you have McAvoy, you have these players that are top tier end skill guys, but then you trade Marchand for, after the mercenary run that he went on with Florida, seems like you traded him for not enough, and again, I don't think that Sweeney is a – I'm starting to think Don Sweeney is just a bad general manager who got covered up by top-end talent that was there already.
Derek Kramer joining me in studio here. Sabres NHL free agency day begins in less than 20 minutes, Derek.
I'm ready. I'm excited. So I'm here early.
So you're here. So today we have what? We have Sabres Live at 1 p.m.
Yep.
They're down there at Harbor Center today with they're at Harbor Center today with the Sabres development camp.
Yes.
Plus free agency begins. And then you are going to be on at 1 o'clock.
With Zach Jones.
Zach Jones. And you'll be talking a lot about free agency because by then deals are coming in. Here's the thing about free agency today. It just seems like everybody we kind of were talking about, they've kind of re-upped with their team or they've already been traded, signed and trade, like Mitch Marner. We do have this report, though, that the Sabres will be signing a goaltender, Alex Lyon.
I like this. This allows for – Lyon has been a capable backup within the NHL for several years now. Most infamously, three seasons ago when he helped slam the door on the Sabres and kept them at 91 mm-hmm. points and out of the playoffs. Lyon was responsible for that, not Bobrovsky. So I think this might just be a nice little low-key signing. If Lyon gets beat out in camp, for example, by Levi the same way Reimer was, I won't be surprised. Mostly because Levi has the capability to do this. It's just he hasn't shown it at the NHL level yet. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be mad if Levi beats out Lyon in training camp. I also don't think that the Sabres want to repeat the same, I don't want to call it mistake, but the same happenings of last year where they run in with Luukkonen and Levi, and then your goalie that you signed in free agency gets claimed on waivers.
Well, I think part of the issue is this. There's this really tough spot they're in with Levi, which is, let's just say he, as you put it, beats out Lyon in training camp. He's still not getting enough games where you're comfortable with him just sitting on the bench. He could beat him out, but you still have to still say, I still need him to play. He's got to go down to Rochester, right? So I think that's the tough part. Levi could do everything in his power to beat out Lyon, but unless he's way better and you're like, we got to play this guy, which would be the great scenario, right? Like, oh my God, Levi's arrived. He's ready. Let's go. I don't care. Put him in the net for UPL. If Levi beats out Lyon, I still think you might have to say it doesn't matter. It's Lyon's job because we need Levi to play. And he's got to go to AHL to do that.
And I think that, honestly, it was the Calder Cup run that ultimately fell short that spelled what the Sabres' plan was going to be with Devin Levi.
Mm-hmm.
If he beats Laval, the best team in the AHL, that probably changes everything. Like, there's probably even no designs on signing Alex Lyon. They're signing AHL goaltenders at that point. But now, I think that seeing what happened there, you want to just take your time with him. Make sure it's done right. Let him start in Rochester. Just because he starts there does not mean he has to end there. And let the tandem be Luukkonen and Alex Lyon, who has shown to be able to take stretches of being the starting goaltender in case UPL falters again.
We do have some Sabres news coming over.
Oh.
They have signed defenseman Ryan Johnson to a 3-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
AAV, $775,000.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the minimum for Ryan Johnson because he has yet to really
Correct.
Do much of anything.
Fine with this.
With
totally
career.
Fine with this. Fine. Keep Ryan Johnson in the pipeline. Keep him right there. We'll see what it looks like going forward for Ryan McLeod. I think that's kind of one that you don't really know where that's going to come in. And I think, obviously, Bo Byram, what's going to happen with him, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if worried's the right word, but a little uneasy that I think the Sabres might be content with their forward group. With what they have now.
Yep.
And I do think that they need another addition to the top six. You don't trade J.J. Paterka without needing that.
Great segue to Jeff in Buffalo who wants to chime in on the J.J. trade. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just, number one, I'm 60 years old, so just a little bit of history behind the Sabres. Been a fan my whole life. Okay, so anyway, I call it Sabres smog because it's just like this smog that hangs over this team. And until Adams is done, I don't know what the deal is with Pegula and Adams and how they wanted to sort of tailor him along and how much Terry and maybe Kim had invested in this guy. But at the same time, the J.J. Paterka trade will give you a player that we developed. Yep, we actually developed this kid. He came along. Doesn't happen very much as a Saber, but it happened. Now all of a sudden he's unhappy, and our stance is if you don't want to be with us, then you can't play with us. Come on. You're a pro. This is a professional league. You should have told them, you know what, and go back to Germany. Because that's the stance this team has to take if they're going to start retaining players and even maybe obtaining a free agent here or there that's worth something. I'm just, you know, and then you look at the Bull Byram thing with Adams. He, like, that should have been done before the draft. There was interest by the Kings and a couple other teams in this league for him. Maybe you could have even, who knows, got crazy as the Buffalo Sabres organization and got Paterka, Byram, and maybe got a player back. It's just, you know, it's the same old ho-hum. You see him trade Clifton for basically the same player. Yeah, he's bigger. He's a right-handed defenseman. Come on. I mean, it's when you look at – I bet you when they call Adams and deal with him, it's like working over a little kid for his lunch money. I mean, it's just ridiculous at this point. And being a Sabres fan this long, I'm out. I'm done.
All right, well, listen, I think there's a few things here, Jeff. Number one, I actually think Kevin Adams has made a couple nice trades. I think that the Mittelstadt trade was a good trade to get Byram, and I do think the Ryan McLeod trade was a good trade for Savoy. However, that being said, I agree they should have played more hardball with J.J. Paterka. They had
escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW. Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
They had the rights. I know he could put him in a tough spot and say, I'm not signing. Bill, I think the caller's name was Bill, is right. You could say, you don't want to sign, you can go, you're losing a lot of money, dude. Go back to Germany. You could play that hardball. I think the Sabres said, let's just cut our losses now because they didn't want to pay him the kind of money he would get and like he got from the Utah Mammoth. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on your Tuesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres Live coming your way at noon. wrapping up with Derek in studio here. We had more Sabres news, Josh. We have the Sabres making a trade. Not a big trade. Not the one a lot of people are expecting with Bo Byram. Sam Lafferty. No longer a member of the Buffalo Sabres. He get a sixth round pick, right? In return. Where'd he go? Chicago?
Yep. Chicago Blackhawks. I think he used to play there too. So reunited in Chicago.
Speaking of Chicago, I happened to see Michael Pekka over the weekend, and he is now in Chicago. He is on the Blackhawks staff. I didn't realize this. I said to him, hey, I know, you know what happened with New York, and I have to ask, because I didn't know, like, how did everything sort out for you? And he said, actually, I'm with the Blackhawks now. I had no idea. So Michael Pekka is now a member of the Chicago Blackhawks coaching staff. Sam Lafferty, a member of the Chicago Blackhawks roster, after the Sabres make a deal. We are 6 minutes and 45 seconds away and ticking down to the start of NHL free agency. And I expect a few more deals to come over the, you know, over the top here as we get to the wire, whether that be a trade, whether that be someone re-signing with their team. We know the Sabres have extended qualifying offers to several of their pending restricted free agents. We know that they've just signed Ryan Johnson to a new contract. And now Sam Lafferty dealt to the Chicago Blackhawks. So we'll see what winds up happening here. Victor Arvidsson gets traded from the Oilers to the Boston Bruins. What else am I looking at here? The trade that went down in the NFL, by the way, not just yesterday, with Jonnu Smith and, of course, Jalen Ramsey going from Miami to Pittsburgh for Minka Fitzpatrick and a draft pick. But on the heels of that, the Dolphins today traded for retired tight end Darren Waller, who will come out of retirement to play for them. So Darren Waller now in Miami as a Dolphins tight end. Darren Waller's a really good player, but last year things did not go well. Once he got to the Giants, he wound up retiring, and we'll see where that goes. And then finally, the other news of the day, Damian Lillard getting waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. So a lot going on, but especially with the NHL. Sabres Live has it all covered for you coming up next year on WGR Sports Radio 550. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.